Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Greetings, travelers!
Yeah. Greetings, travelers! How y'all doing? Oh, my. I wait for a response.
They're all doing great. I think they're all doing fantastic.
They all said fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like, I'm fantastic! So, yeah.
Wow.
How are you, Mark?
It's been crazy. The book is out. It's out and about. We're still selling it at events, but you can now get it. It's crazy.
It is. Dark side of the Smoky Mountains.
Yep. Come to the website. Go to your local bookstore. However you want to get it. You can order it all the usual online places. It is, or order it direct from us. Get it signed. Order it direct from Four Horsemen. And get a little bit of a discount. It's wherever fine books are sold.
Yes. So, wow. What are we talking about today, though?
All right. Well, we are going on more travels. We are going to hit on a place that we briefly talked about in the book.
Yes.
And so that we're going to be doing that a little bit for the next few episodes here and there. Is we're going to bring up stuff from the book. We're also going to go on stuff that is similar, but elsewhere, right? So this is a phenomena that happens here in the book, but it might be other places. So this will be fun places for you to travel to explore if you can't make it to the Smoky Mountains, right?
Yes.
So in this one, the mist is rising and the mountains are watching, right? So everybody just buckle up because we're going to talk about, if you've seen the episode title, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about lanterns in the mist, right? Folklore flickering like firelight and mysteries in the hollows. But we're going to chase ghost lights, these orbs that haunt the ridgelines of Appalachia. And then they shimmer all over the world. There are places all over that these guys are seen.
So what defines a ghost light?
They're just these weird things that people see, usually from a good distance. And they can be anything like a will-o'-the-wisp, where it just kind of flows through the forest ahead of you, luring you to who knows where. That's the classic Irish tradition, or the Dungeons and Dragons monster, for those of us that ever played. But they're usually seen doing weird things that like lanterns can't do. Or sometimes they're UAPs, UFOs, where they're seen in the distance, darting and moving in ways that planes can't or cars can't. And that's just it. People have no idea. We'll get into the science of this a little bit later and see what they say. But these things have been seen for centuries and maybe even further back, because there's kind of some hints that these things have been around a long time. But let's start probably with the most famous near us. And then we'll go to the one that's in our book that's kind of like right near it. And so we're going to travel to, we've been there, Erica, Linville Gorge. The Linville Gorge is where Brown Mountain sits, probably the most famous.
I think the photo from this episode is us at Brown Mountain.
I'm hoping we pull that up. So, yep. But when night falls there, something stirs, usually best seen on moonless nights, right? Because this is a faint thing, but these glowing orbs just kind of rise above the ridgeline. And they're not just one color. They come out white. They come out red. They come out like kind of an amber color. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of hover and pulse. And then sometimes they're kind of like darting like fireflies, like fireflies on a mission of some sort. They're really, you know, crazy movements. Now, the Cherokee say that there was a great battle there, and it was fought between their people and the Catawba, which I may be butchering that. But the lights, they say, were the spirits of the grieving maidens searching for lost warriors. And that's just, that's what we've been told. That's what they are. Some say they're the lights of the Cherokee little people that are trying to lure people into an area where they can do terrible things to them. So not all the Cherokee little people are bad, but some are. Some are very, it's the Fae, right? We've discussed that. They are very similar to the Fae. Now, the settler version is that it is a woman who is heartbroken, and she's wandering the mountains with a lantern, and she's searching for her lover who never returned from some other war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these early 1900s, these kind of gained national attention. This was just like a folklore in the area, just kind of one of those things people knew about. It was marked on maps. It was marked on just counts of the time. But 1913, a newspaper reports describes mysterious lights seen just above the horizon nearly every night. And the article says it appears punctually at 7:30 and again at 10 p.m. And so the U.S. Geological Survey comes. And they say, oh, it's train headlights. It's just a train coming twice a night. So it's reflecting on shiny rocks up there. And that's all it is.
It's the train.
The train. But remember what happened during Hurricane Helene?
When we had
a lot of flooding. They had a lot of flooding back then. And in 1916, all rail traffic was cut off from all that region. Guess what? We're still seeing the lights. Now, the theory, of course, from many, is that they're extraterrestrial. They're UFOs. They're aliens. Or maybe it's interdimensional portals. And scientists have other theories, of course.
Of course.
One of my favorites, I cannot pronounce it, is piezoelectricity.
Okay.
P-I-E-Z-O electricity. Basically, that's quartz under pressure, which emits lights, which could also be the creation of ball lightning. We don't really know a lot about ball lightning. We still aren't sure what happened. We know it's a phenomena. We've seen it, but we don't understand. Very the definition of preternatural, right? But none of these explain the behavior, though, of these lights, because their timing's weird. They move around. They change color. One of my favorite eyewitness reports was, we saw them from Wiseman's View, which is where we stopped. They rose like stars, then split. One turned red, another hovered, and then vanished. And that's from a guy who was hiking the Appalachian Trail and wrote into us about it. So pretty cool.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, Scotty Wiseman, the singer or a songwriter, he wrote a song called The Legend of the Brown Mountain Lights. And that song actually appeared on an episode of The X-Files.
Which
but that song got covered by everything. The Kingston Trio, a bunch of others. That's why I've heard it. Not the best song, because it says that it was a lost slave looking for his owner. That's the lights out there.
Oh, we don't.
So know that. No. Not the prettiest thing. So now, in our book, just a short distance away, right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, it's a little closer to Cherokee. We put in our book the Thomas Divide Overlook lights. Now that one's, I think, better. The Brown Mountain Lights, you're a ways away. You can't really get close to them without hiking. And that's, you know, a big hike. The Thomas Divide Overlook, less crowded. It's got a great panoramic view. Brown Mountain's got a pretty good view. The Brown Mountain Overlook's got a great view of them. But if you're lucky out at Thomas Divide, especially if you go in the fall, it's much more common in the fall because the trees aren't as overgrown, right? The leaves are falling, especially early winter is really good too, but it's tough to get up there because Blue Ridge Parkway, really tough to drive in the winter. So you just got to go on the right days. But there the lights appear and they're across a protected valley. So there should be no one out there. It is no development. Technically never has been. I'm sure there were some settlers out there at some point. But again, flickering, they splinter, they change color. The ones that I saw were, they split into two, which is cool. They launched like one and then split into two, went straight up like a helicopter. And of course people are like, oh, it's drones. Oh, it's this. No. I know what drones look like. And then these would switch from white to red. And a lot of people say they switch from red to blue, blue to orange again. Now, these are less studied. They're less commercialized. And that's why I like them. They're a little more intimate, right? And the land across that valley is totally sacred to the Cherokee. Now, they have a different legend of these lights. So the Cherokee say a betrayed Cherokee medicine man, and basically he was dismembered by soldiers during a forced relocation. Like he was the one refused to go when they forced him away from Cherokee lands. This was a guy who said, you know what? I'm not leaving. And so U.S. soldiers, they took him apart. And they say what it is, the lights there are his sacred spirit searching for the pieces of his body. So that's the one we put in our book. And again, could be Lanterns of the Little People. That was Kathy's version of it. And that they guard sacred places. So they're trying to lure you away from the most sacred spots.
But this has been, I mean, you talked about it. This is consistently there, which is really the interesting part. So it's not like one or two people have seen it. People go up there all the time and see it and talk about seeing these lights out there. Right. And then, so for time, everybody keeps giving it a present day, quote unquote, rationalization. But it has been happening for centuries. People have seen these lights out there. And there's not been a logical explanation. And not just logical, but I'm going to say there has not been a scientific explanation because we don't have anything that we know of presently in nature that does that exact effect. Like you talked a little bit, you know, my favorite is when they say swamp gas, right?
That is one of the theories. Yeah.
Yeah. Swamp gas, but
not a lot of swamps in the Appalachians.
No, and not only that, few,
but not up on top of a mountain.
No. And swamp gas, even if hypothetically swamps were involved here, swamp gas behaves very differently than going up in a ball of light and moving around. That's not how swamp gas, anyone who's seen it knows that that's not how it works, right? We are not, that's not how swamp gas behaves itself.
Yeah, and it's not foxfire because foxfire just is a solid glow. It's not, you know, some bioluminescent animal out there that we haven't discovered. I mean, it could be, but that's very unlikely.
If that's the case, that is so badass.
That would be great, right? I'd be thrilled with that. So, I love some of these theories that story with the Cherokee man and all that. One of my eyewitness reports from Thomas Divide, this was a lady named Margaret. She sent us this was she flashed her headlights, honked the horn and waited. And the lights appeared to answer her with blue and red flickering and darting. One hovered just below the tree line and then streaked across the valley at inhuman speed. So that one went zing, 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 zing. Yeah, like a super bouncing ball of light. And one of our quotes when we talked to that one Cherokee elder who asked to remain anonymous, his quote was, to the Cherokee, the supernatural is just natural. I love that.
I love that.
And he's like, the ghosts, the spirits, they're just part of the landscape. They're not intrusions. They're inhabitants. Oh, that made my heart sing. I love that. So
I love
it was
that
just
too.
And that's why he was like, you know, the betrayed Cherokee medicine man, he was convinced that that was the truth of the Thomas Divide lights. And he says Brown Mountain is the sacred spirits, you know, just dancing around. Now, we're going to talk about a couple world ones, and then second half, we'll talk about it, the big one that the Western folks know.
Okay. Right? Okay.
But so just to show, these aren't just our area. In India, there's the Alaya lights, and they are seen over marshes and bogs. So that's why a lot of people, oh, they're just swamp gas. And what they're supposed to be is they're the ghosts of drowned fishermen, and they're trying to warn you of danger. And of course, there's a dark side to it that some people say, oh, they're alluring you to other places, so that leads you to your doom. That's a pretty cool area. And that's in the Sundarbans, Sundarbans in India. I haven't been there, but we had some friends who said beautiful area, and they loved it. So, okay. Now this one, you've been to Australia, if I recall, right?
No, I haven't. That's the one continent I haven't been to.
Okay. All right. Well, Queensland, Australia has the Min Min lights.
Ooh.
And these were reported in 1918, and they follow travelers and then retreat when approached. And then sometimes they will follow cars and just kind of keep pace with you. That reminds us of Florida's Oviedo lights, do the same thing just outside, you know, Central Florida there. But the stories of the Queensland Min Min lights, according to the Aboriginal lore, that they are the spirits of the elders, and they are upset with all the encroachments on their land, their sacred land. So these are them watching over the land and chasing those away. So
interesting.
And now Norway has one. Now, you were, where were you up that way with the little people?
Oh yeah, no, I was in Iceland with
the Iceland with the little people. So this is similar to that.
Okay.
These are called the Hestdalen lights, and they've been observed since the 1930s.
Okay.
And these lights hover and dart, and then sometimes they form geometric shapes, which is very, very cool. Now, scientists have studied these for decades, but have yet to figure out anything that makes sense, right?
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about talking about these different light formations, and they form geometric patterns, like, you go, how sentient are whatever these things are to know to back away from something coming towards them, or to zip around, or to change colors, or to do a pattern? You almost go, these guys have, whatever this is, has to have some sort of sentience to it in order to accomplish those goals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And now people have said, you know, they sometimes call these cemetery lights because they are common amongst cemetery. It's just a phenomena that happens a lot in cemeteries. Probably most famous is out in Colorado, the Silver Cliff Cemetery lights. This is kind of the most beautiful place, if I recall. It was just, I remember it being just this windswept cemetery. It was just windswept graveyard. Blue and white lights are supposed to dance among the tombstones. I didn't see them when I was there, but it's very common. And this was reported way back in 1882. A bunch of miners saw it. They were coming back from a party. So, of course, everybody said, oh, they were drunk. Yeah, and that's why they were imagining things. But people have seen it since, a lot. And now they have become legendary, these lights.
It kind of makes you wonder that, like, the Cherokee tales and the tales out of Norway and stuff are all, and India, are talking about the, like, the fishermen or the spirits guiding you. And you kind of just go, is this a representation of something spiritual, like a soul or a, you know, what is it that, especially when they're seen in places where deaths have occurred, right?
Yeah.
and that's true with the Appalachian Mountains and stuff. There's, unfortunately, they're finding, like, I was just visiting a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, Enchanted Flower Bake Shop, threw that in. And she was talking about the fact that they just found another graveyard of Irish railway workers. People weren't always as discerning when taking care of the dead, I hate to say. Like, sometimes they were just left in piles. Sometimes when there was a battle or attacking an enemy or killing off a village, they didn't go in and like, okay, let's get all these guys buried. They just killed them all and left.
Yep. And that's for generations. I mean, that's forever we've done that. It's people forget history's written by the winners, gang. And that's what happens is the losers. Yeah. Sorry. We're not going to give you a proper burial or anything like that. We just leave them to rot. Let them know that they're not welcome here. And this is what happens to all intruders.
Not only that, there are the times that they just don't even mention that they did that thing. Like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you mean. Workers that did this part of the railway, they're fine. They all went home to Ireland.
Boat,
you know, like,
yeah. And then, like I said, we delve into a lot of this in the book, that the whole, in, you know, the incarcerated laborers, that was big in this area. And then, you know, slavery before that, and then natives being driven off their land before that. It's a bad scene, gang, and that's why some of these lights appear, we think. There's a correlation there. There is a correlation. And again, we've had recent skeptics on and all that. Science says, I like the theory of the quartz being compressed, because quartz is huge in the mountains around here.
Oh, absolutely. That's,
yeah, and some of us live on geodes. And, it's...
Really or not.
Yeah, yeah. And it could be any of these things, but then why are they all over the world? And why are they so common in certain areas? But we've got a couple more that I want to talk about real quick that are maybe not as famous. Again, more cemetery lights. Okay. And then we'll get into the big one after this, that Eric is like, what are you talking about? The big one. Just trust me. Once I mention it, you might know it. But one of my favorites is out near the Devil's Tower, where famous for Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes.
There is a cemetery out there. It's an old Western cemetery, and it has dancing lights across it. And the thing about it, they call it the Devil's Tower Dancing Lights. And I think that may have inspired Steven Spielberg to put the UFOs out there. Maybe. I don't know. But they call them the Dancing Lights of Devil's Tower, the Devil's Tower lights. And you'll hear some devil light stories out here in Appalachia, particularly around cemeteries, especially abandoned cemeteries from old ghost towns and things like that, as the towns got abandoned. But Tombstone, Arizona, they have, Boot Hill has ghost lights. Theirs are more green and tend to follow amongst the tombstones, like walking amongst the tombstones. And that's more will-o'-the-wisp style of folklore. So I think
it's
that
true,
just kind
but
of
I think it's that funny up. That we're trying to determine based on the color of the lights what they are. Continue, though.
Yeah, exactly. Now, some folklore says that these are guardians, as we've discussed. Some are tricksters. Some say they're omens of bad things happening. So some of the ghost lights have been on battlefields before the battle.
Oh, wow.
First, one of our most famous, these were seen by early scouts riding out in an area in Pennsylvania just before this town of Gettysburg. And these scouts reported seeing lights. They thought it might be the enemy army or a picket line or skirmish line. So they ride out. Nope. And this was a southern group that reported the lights that were never really talked about much, but it's in a couple reports. But when they went to the area where the lights were, it was a graveyard just outside of Gettysburg.
Wow. No, I have a whole theory. I'm going to actually save it till after the break, because I just thought of something really twisted, a little funny. Ooh. But go ahead. Okay.
All right, let's take the break, and then let's hear that. And then we'll come back with some of the biggest reports of ghost lights, and then we'll wrap up.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a six-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Bo Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/bow_lake.
We're back after having
yeah.
So what if ghost lights are little teeny soul-eating fairies?
Ooh, I like that.
And so
that's a theory I hadn't heard. So
they're like spirit-eating fairies or undead-eating fairies, and they just go around these places because they're like nom 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 nom, and they just eat the people are like,
I like that.
You're disgusting. But
oh yeah. Man, okay.
I got the image of the tooth fairies from the Hellboy movies. Like,
yeah, those are great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So. They look really, really cute, but they, you know, they lure hi. Yeah.
Wow. So
just saying, adulting axolotl. I'm gonna need a ghost lights fairy spirit eater.
And spirit eater.
Like, don't topa that into existence.
I think you watched too much K-pop Demon Hunter recently, so.
Don't judge me.
Okay. Hey, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. So, but we'll have to talk about that later. But anyway, back to ghost lights. Okay, so we've talked about bogs, we've talked about swamps, we've talked about crystal areas, we've talked about graveyards. So people are spotting lights over weird skies. I mean, we're seeing them over highways. We're seeing them all others. And again, some more famous than others, but not too far from Austin, Texas. And you go into the desert and you're heading towards the Davis Mountains. And this is the town, just outside the town of Marfa. Now, the Marfa lights are huge, famous amongst UFO hunters, amongst people who watch the sky, looking for astronomical anomalies and stuff. The Marfa lights is huge for this. And, again, there's modern explanations for these, but so when you're looking for weird lights, Brown Mountain is a must. Marfa is the king, right? It's the top of the king.
And where is Marfa?
It's just outside of Austin. It's kind of middle of the road, Texas. Right.
Next time we're in Texas, we got to hit this up.
So if you go to the McDonald Observatory, which they have a telescope there that's been up since the 1930s. And that was kind of where I saw my first Marfa light. I was actually on the catwalk. I was actually inside the dome. And there's actually a really cool library there, which is a fun, creepy place to be. No offense to the Otto Observatory. That was the creepiest library in this old 1938 observatory.
And for you to say it's creepy, that had to be a whole level of creepiness.
So that's way on the west side of Texas.
Okay.
Kind of where, you know, Texas has that little lower bend, and then it just kind of has the bend over towards the west before the point, like it's pointing to California. This is a little south of, southeast of that. So if okay. that makes sense to people, I wish I could show you a map right now. But yeah,
nobody, but I appreciate it. And I would Google that instead of taking how to get there from Mark in this episode. Anyway, okay,
yeah.
Continue on.
It is very remote to get out to Marfa. So, and I actually had an astronomer point them out to me. So it was pretty cool. And I wish I could go back because it's been a while. But yeah, it was just, you see these, I saw these two, they weren't moving. One was brighter and one was fainter and they were just above the horizon. And he's like, there's not supposed to be any stars there. And I was like, oh crap. I just thought it was two stars that I didn't know. You know, so now there are much more elaborate reports than what I saw, right? There was some are really bright. Some say it was like a basketball size sphere and that it was shining many different colors. Some say it hovers about shoulder height. They were right next to it and they could see it.
Oh, wow.
So, and most people say they shoot around rapidly many directions. And sometimes they appear in pairs. Sometimes they appear in groups. Sometimes they are single and do like we saw Thomas Divide where they split into pairs. And then sometimes they'll disappear, reappear. They'll move in patterns. And they almost seem like a coordinated pattern. Now, Marfa loves them. And they've embraced them, kind of like Point Pleasant's finally embracing Mothman. So yeah. They've actually put some highway markers up so where you can watch the lights from here. Go here, go there. And that's awesome. So I'm going to read real quick. This is this one blogger. This is from Pappy Blogger. They posted this really good account. So after several driving delays and a huge gas shortage scare, we finally arrived in Marfa past dinner time at night. From our kids' perspective, Marfa's big draw, of course, are the mystery lights, a Texas version of Alaska's Aurora Borealis. And to make things interesting, I brought a professional digital camera and a tripod and took time-lapse images of the Marfa lights from the observation deck where everyone normally sees them. And if you look at my undoctored photos, you will notice a red light surrounded by other bright lights. All appear to be about the same size. What's interesting is that the white lights surrounding the red one clearly have some movement. For the record, I don't believe there's anything magical or alien related to the lights, but I do find them interesting, especially knowing that many experts and many documentaries have studied them and no one still knows what they are.
I think that is hysterical, and I'm going back to my soul-eating fairy theory, very much like my whole entire theory about women in white and the Hat Man dating. I'm just going to put these things into the universe because it sounds like it's intelligent, or here's option two, travelers. It is an alien's little laser light, you know, like you play with a cat.
Yeah.
And they're up there just doing these lights playing with us.
That's great.
That would be funny. He's like, they keep going. I wonder if they're going to chase them. Will they come watch them? Maybe they don't know how to chase.
Nice. I love it. So anyway, so if you really want to go see the Marfa lights, they're typically seen south of U.S. Route 90. And kind of east of U.S. Route 67, which is about 5 to 15 miles away from Marfa. And there is a city-sanctioned viewing area there. And basically, just go to Marfa and ask. Somebody's going to tell you.
So, I love this idea.
Yeah, but it's basically about 8 hours from Austin. It's probably the last big town here. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And we have an Erica's Eats there that was told to me. And this is from a recent visitor that said La Familia, which is in Junction, Texas, is a really good, proper Mexican Tex-Mex.
I love that. I had proper Mexican tacos yesterday. So yeah. Big fan.
All right. Anyway, the proper explanation, of course, the skeptics will say, and Skeptoid Magazine, which our friend Brian just talked about said the Marfalites have not been around, as people say. They said the earliest accounts came from a rancher named Robert Ellison in 1883, but they say upon closer inspection, no actual record of him seeing this is there. So there are reports from his descendants that say he saw the lights, but no written record. And even when he wrote his memoirs about his life in a region in 1937, he didn't mention it. It'd be odd that he would leave that out, according to them. Apparently, all evidence that the lights existed prior to the arrival of the automobile is purely anecdotal. So they are convinced that it's car lights that are just reflecting off something out in the distance. That's not what I saw. What I saw was up in the sky. So I've been at that observatory and I didn't see that. My lights were kind of jumpy. They were low lights.
And don't get me wrong. I'm all about going and finding scientific explanations for things. Yeah. Because I mean, I think part of that is how research is done and how experiments and stuff like that are done. A lot of times gives us insight and understanding and potentially new technology as to how something is working. A grown man in this time period talking about lights that he saw and trying to say how him not including this in an autobiography about being a rancher somehow diminishes the fact that he could have them is frankly bullshit, because a lot of people don't talk about stuff that happened because they don't want to be considered crazy or dumb. That still happens to this day.
How many people come up and tell us Bigfoot stories, but don't want it told? Because they're like, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. It's like, oh, come on, just let us tell it anonymously.
Yes. But
they wouldn't let us do that. So now I've seen a jumpy light in the distance. And then as the earth turned, I realized it was Venus. So, you know, but it took me a bit because it's just the way the atmosphere was playing. So I could see that. But again, I watched it for 20 minutes. I figured it out. These I watched for a long time, couldn't figure them out. So now, I've got one more that I think you're going to love.
Okay. So
we're moving on from Marfa.
Skeptics, don't get me wrong. If you want to go actually research, go and figure out the distance these lights are, go see if there's a reflection of something.
Yep.
I'm totally on board. If you discover some new miracle quartz that does that, fine. But don't say, I think it's this. If you can't offer any evidentiary proof, it is that, because that is just as much as people saying they see them is going, no, I think they're headlights.
Yeah.
Off of what? Crazies?
Yeah. I mean, it's train lights, Brown Mountain. Yeah. No, there's no train. You know, it's,
it is a national forest.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people, still, you know, we can see it and it's recorded. There's tons of video evidence. So these are things you can catch easily. So, All right. So we're going to go Route 66 and we're going to St. Louis. And you're like, wait a minute. We're in the wrong St. Louis. So, because the next lights are in Saskatchewan, Canada. Just outside is a small town called St. Louis.
Wow. So, that is not where I thought we were. I was like, okay, are we in Kansas or in Missouri? Yeah,
No, we're going up to Canada because I was like, oh, we went to the wrong St. Louis, because that's exactly where I went with the research on this. I was like, I have not heard this story. I dug so much into St. Louis, couldn't find the research. And then I found out, oh, there's a St. Louis in Canada.
Well, thank you, Canada, for throwing Mark off his game. Okay. Yep, so we're up in Saskatchewan. So we're in St. Louis, Canada.
Okay. And there was a terrible, terrible train crash there. It's a passenger train that derailed.
Oh, yeah.
And so a ghostly railway man holding his lantern haunts the tracks. He's looking for a baby that died in the accident. And it said the light appears in the distance along the track, but has no easily identifiable source. And the thing is, that track has been abandoned. So there are no trains coming on that track anymore. So it can't be a train.
Automobiles, Mark. What do you say?
Obviously, swamp gas in Canada. it's another one of those oddballs. There's so many train track light ghosts. We put one in our book. We put one at the Coey Tunnel where there's a light that's seen. That's looking for the Coey 19. Now, the Coey 19 is a terrible disaster. Occurred in the winter, and they were incarcerated laborers that were on a raft, and they were going across the Tennessee River, and they are a little Tennessee River, and they were working on what would be the railroad through Coey. And this raft, they all kind of got something buckled the raft, and they all went to one side and it flipped. Now, these are shackled prisoners. They could do nothing. They were drowning and they were fighting for life. Story goes, one of the prisoners saved one of the guards that was guarding them. And for his heroism, he was shot. So,
or somebody, you got to read the story in the book.
There's because otherwise, maybe. Ambiguity. There's ambiguity. Yeah, but that's the story, the folklore story. But their ghosts are seen around the tunnel, and the lantern light is seen in the tunnel to the point where they posted a sign for when the train was still going that if you see a light, it is not a brakeman, don't stop. And that's crazy. So
that again goes to my entire theory about, because if you think about a lot of times what people see, they see with dead people is orbs. And it just kind of makes you wonder, how do those things fit in together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that ghost story. Like I said, you can ride that railroad. The Great Smoky Mountain Railroad goes through there, and you can go through that tunnel and look for the light or look for the ghosts.
So I was on that tunnel, but I took a day trip and there weren't any lights in there. Okay. But that's not saying they're not there. I'm just saying that I also
wasn't there when you went
through the tunnel. So,
now St. Louis lights back up there, Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It's kind of south of that. And they're on near the old railroad tracks. They're about 5 miles north of the town of St. Louis. And the gravel road that leads there is unmarked and hard to find. So again, go to St. Louis and ask somebody. Somebody will send you there. Now, these two kids, I got to say this, though. Alicia and Shannon are these two 12th grade kids. They won science fair gold medals for investigating the St. Louis lights. And they were actually able to duplicate them.
Ooh.
So they suggested that the lights were vehicle lights again, but they were refracted by the railroad tracks. So, and they were reflecting from that. And now they actually, one of them's a believer and one of them's a skeptic. And so they were freaked out when they spotted the lights. So that was what decided to investigate and figure it out. Pretty cool. I'm happy with that. So does that 100% debunk it? No,
it doesn't sound like it, but words travelers,
it's all good.
Something can be mimicked and still have something else, because like you talk about the colors and the patterns and stuff like that, right? There's a lot of things that we've seen that take on a nature of imitating something else it's seen, like replicating those things. I think, you know, we see animals that do it all the time, insects that do it all the time, that pretend to be one thing. Like, look at that one very terrifying fish. Is it the lantern fish that has the little light where it pretends to be like an algae thing that draw up certain fish or other things to it so it can eat them?
Anglerfish,
anglerfish, that's what I was thinking, because they're I would not want to run into one of those, period. No. And I think it's interesting because I think something can be more than one thing. There could be more than one explanation for it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. All right, so we are going to go back to Route 66, though, because while I was looking up the St. Louis lights and went down that rabbit hole, I found ones on Route 66, and this one is in Oklahoma, and it is the Hornet lights.
Oh, now, Oklahoma, where the wind comes rushing down the plain. There you go.
Yeah. That's now, the Hornet lights have been appearing in the night sky there since 1881, and no one knows where they're coming from, right? It's a strange phenomena just off Route 66. Hornet is no longer there. It is gone. It's a ghost town. It's not even, there's nothing left of the ghost town. But so there, again, there's this kind of little 4 mile gravel road, kind of near this town of Quapaw, Oklahoma, Quapaw. And the largest city there is like Joplin, Missouri, is probably the closest to that. And what they see there is a glowing ball of orange light. And it's in an area called the Devil's Promenade.
Of course it is.
Of course it is, right? And that orb has apparently been seen for over 100 years. They say the light bounces as a spinning ball, and it ranges from basketball to baseball size, depending. And it glows with a different intensity while racing down the road at high speed and changing colors.
Wow.
And sometimes it has multiple, where it splits off and becomes many. They come and go like being bouncing balls thrown in the air. And they dance through trees and over the tops of fields. And if you get close to them, they just vanish. Boof. Gone. Instant. And generally going east to west, according to most of the stuff I could get. And they call them the spook light sometimes in the area. Usually seen around 10 p.m. to midnight. Okay. And it also stays away from loud noises and large groups. So it's easily spooked. The spook light. It's a kind of a fun story. So no one, even the Army Corps of Engineers went out. And they, in their report, say, mysterious light of unknown origin. That's official Army Corps of Engineers report on the Hornet light.
Wow.
Yeah.
How often is it seen?
Almost every night. Nearly every night. Now, again, swamp gas, ball lightning, most common explanations for it. Some people say it's an electrical atmospheric charge from the ground because of the New Madrid fault line running under there. And there are several earthquakes reported there. So that is possible. And, of course, the common is, oh, it's automobiles reflecting off of a billboard and bouncing off of the highway.
Bouncing off of the highway. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. It's fun. I don't know. There are so many ghost light stories and spook lights. I can't believe how many there are.
And I can, because it seems like this is something. We just don't know what it is right now. And it's not surprising it would be in more than one location. I would love to hear from our travelers on what lights they've seen like this, and what were they told? Yeah.
Do they have one in their town? You know, it's just one of the quotes about the Hornet spook light. Sometimes it's called the Joplin spook light because Joplin is still around there. One of my favorite quotes about that was, a glowing orb races down the road and vanishes when chased. Like truth itself, it just flickers just out of reach. And that was from a local writer.
I kind of love that. I kind of love that.
And that brought me back to Will-O-Wisps, right?
Yeah.
They're just slightly there. Now we know ghost lights in different ways around, and we're coming up on spooky season, right? I mean, we're already starting on spooky season. Fourth of July leads immediately to spooky season, but for us, it's always spooky season. So, of course, what's the tradition of spooky season that used to carve turnips and now we carve pumpkins. Yeah. Because of Samhain and our good old boy, Jack, getting a jacktail. We did that whole thing on jacktails. I did for a minisode. As is probably the most famous jacktail is Jack, besides Jack and the Beanstalk, or Jack the Giant Killer. This is probably the other one, is Jack O' the Lantern, or Jack is approached by the devil. He's a bad guy. He's done terrible things his whole life. The devil shows up, says, "I'm going to claim your soul." And he's like, "Well, hang on a second. You know, I've got an idea. You know, if you could just help me." And he tricks the devil a couple times. And finally, the devil's like, "Fine, I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to take your soul." And now Jack's stuck walking the earth forever because he can't go to heaven, can't go to hell. And he walks with his lantern. But you carve a lantern to keep him away, right? So you do the Jacko the Lantern, Jack-o'-lantern. And usually did turnips and all that. So this is, we glow the lights, right? We make the lanterns. And we didn't understand the primal fear of darkness for many people, right? The world, yeah. Once we got gas and electricity, it was, oh, it's so nice. But lanterns, they were this light that saved us in the dark. And so otherworldly lights, ooh, that spooked them for years, right? But we're sophisticated. We're not afraid of the dark anymore.
Right? I don't know if I go that far.
But yeah, a single light back then could be your salvation, right? Or maybe your doom. So yeah. It's bizarre. So we've got all these theories, gang. I don't know what to tell you. There are lights in the mountains. And I've seen them. So I don't know what they are. And I can't tell you. I saw something I can't understand. The definition of preternatural.
So. Well, I like my new made-up theory that they are soul-leading fairies. And they're now, nom, 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 nom. And zipper out. So that is where I'm creepily putting that out. So next time you're out looking at lights, enjoy that little thought in your head from Erica here at Airy Travels. And Mark, with that, what frightening way do you want to leave our travelers today?
Well, again, let's just give them the travels. Brown Mountain, right off the Blue Ridge Parkway. Thomas Divide Overlook, right off the Blue Ridge Parkway. Head there. Enjoy yourselves. If you're in the Smoky Mountains, there's a short distance to Brown Mountain or to Thomas Divide, and head a little bit further into North Carolina, Georgia border, and go to Brown Mountain. Tennessee border. But Marfa, they host an annual festival for the Marfa Lights. So head out there, enjoy, or head to that UFO observatory in Hesleden if you want to go to Norway. They have a UFO observatory out there. So, Silver Cliff, that was actually featured in National Geographic, that cemetery. So, my gosh, you know, these lights draw pilgrims, skeptics, they draw storytellers. It's living folklore. Get out there, enjoy it. So,
yes, all right. Yes, and again, yes.
Thank you, patrons, for putting up with this and helping us support us. If you go to our Patreon, throw a dollar at us, it makes us very happy and get you in the Discord, and you can have all kinds of fun. The link to the Discord's in the show notes, so you can join without that. But check us out, eerietravels.com. Get the book, find out where we're going to be. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun things, all that. Ghost lights, they're Appalachia's quiet rebellion against the darkness. They flicker in the dark. They tell us about that mystery that still lives in the land. And whether it's science or spirits or something else, they're drawing you in to look closer, listen deeper, and just wonder. So next time you're out there, flash your lights, wait, and just maybe the mountain's going to blink back. Keep your lanterns lit. Keep the ghost light burning, and we'll see you on the other side.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.